Hello, this is Rob Jacobson reading the weekend edition, Saturday and Sunday, August 22 and 23, 2026, of the commercial news. We'll start with a front page article entitled, Help is Available, Birth to Five Programs Aid County Families. Families in Vermilion County struggling to find affordable childcare or transportation to and from daycare or preschool, the Birth to Five Illinois Region 54 team wants to remind those families they are not alone. For the last 5 years, the organization has worked to bring together parents, caregivers, and community leaders to help figure out what the gaps are within early childhood services while also finding solutions by listening to the community's needs. We want to make sure that we bridge the gap between what exists and what families say they need, said Tammy Pollitt, Regional Council Manager for Birth to Five Illinois in Vermilion County. We're here to find out what our community says we need and then spread awareness. Since launching, the organization has helped create an early childhood resource magnet, compiled mental and behavioral health provider lists, and supported local parents as they organize play groups, foster parent support circles, and other grassroots efforts. Lakin Waltz, family and community engagement specialist with Birth to Five, is a mother herself and says she worked at a daycare to help cover the cost. I know what it's like to not know where to turn. Helping parents find resources here is just super fulfilling, said Waltz. For me, I think it was just a big part of my personal experience of not knowing what's out there and not knowing where to turn for specific services for my own kids, Waltz added. I ended up working at a daycare just so I could have free childcare for my kiddos. She added that she got involved with Birth to Five because after working in daycare, she realized she wanted to build a career around working with kids. And then this position popped up, and I was like, this is perfect, Waltz said. I do like to support those parents because I know what it's like. Having such limited resources and just helping them find those is fulfilling. We want to make sure that we bridge the gap between what exists and what families say they need, said Pollitt. It's exciting that we're in year five, and we've seen a lot of improvement in the early childhood system here in Vermilion County, and we hope it continues that way. One of those ideas was creating a support group. We started a parent-child circle, Pollitt said. So what it is parents get together, the kids play, the parents talk. They meet at the library, and the kiddos play, and the parents talk. It's a parent-child circle, and it's a support group, just to support each other. You can find more information by going to their website, www.birthtofiveil.com/resources. There you can find local resources for child care, mental health care, special needs care, and so much more. Both Waltz and Pollitt highly recommend parents check out the local Head Start as well. There have been some rumors, they say, of the Early Childhood Learning Center closing, but it is not, and they both said there is a huge demand for teachers there and everywhere. Continuing with another front page article, this article is entitled, District Facing $7.7 Million Deficit. Facing a projected $7.7 million budget deficit, Danville District 118 may drain its working cash reserves this year to cover basic operations, the district's finance director told the school board at Wednesday's meeting. The District 118 fiscal year budget is out for public review, but it shows a large deficit. Anyway, overall, the budget I'm looking at has a deficit of $7.7 million, Interim Finance Director Todd Pence said. $59,000 is out of the working cash sale because we're having to use it in the education fund and transportation to help balance those two funds. So we're going to deplete working cash to pay our bills in the two. Board member Chris Easton has been quite vocal about the district's need to rein in their finances. Working cash on hand will go down by 50% according to a budget that's up there now, down about $8 million in the bank, which isn't all money that we're allowed to use, Easton said. So working cash will again be one of the lowest numbers in the entire state, one of the lowest in the nation too, by that matter. So I think it would be just a good thing for us to start talking about working cash, because Mr. Pence, that number is entirely too low. Easton said there is enough money in the bank to make payroll, however, we'll be getting very close to not being able to do that. Easton said the board will need to vote on a working cash bond sooner than we want to think about. He also suggested looking at how other districts in the state have approached similar struggles. There were some positive things to share. The district previously attended a Tilton Village board meeting to talk to members about a TIF district. Other good news, the biggest TIF district in Tilton will come back onto the tax rolls here in about a year, and it's substantial by far, Penn said. The biggest one is about $10 million, and it may combine that if we think we can get our rate back to where it was. Well, financially, things will then look better. And enrollment is also up from last year. There are a total of 4,092 students enrolled in District 118 schools versus 3,646 students enrolled last year at this time. The board is likely to do an amended budget later on in the year. The board also approved the press policy updates, which are mandated by the state. One of the policies focuses on bullying. Superintendent John Hart introduced the changes. He said every 2 years, the state requires the districts to review their bullying policy, and noted that Danville's policy is written by our attorneys, and it's straight from press policy. He added that the policy now mandates prompt reporting, saying administrators must report within 24 hours, and that notices go home to both sets of parents in every case. During the 2025-26 school year, Hart said there were 27 complaints of bullying. Only 9 of the complaints were founded, and one of the complaints was referred to the Title IX complaint manager. Continuing with local education news, another front page article entitled Attendance Assessment Among Issues in ICCB Review. An investigation into the Danville Area Community College's adult education program identified 8 compliance findings. Recently, state and federal funding was cut, eliminating the 60-year program. In a letter obtained by the Commercial News, the Illinois Community College Board lays out its findings of an investigation. From the investigation, it was revealed that the college will have to pay back almost $50,000. The investigation was announced in April by college officials into alleged misappropriation of adult education funds, false test scores, and grant performance reports between the years 2022 and 2025. Whitney Thompson, Deputy Director for Workforce Education, said in a letter to College President Dr. Randy Fletcher that the college will have to develop and submit a corrective action plan, which must be approved by the ICCB. An advisory recommendation is defined as an activity or service that meets the necessary requirements of the law, but has potential for improvement, Thompson wrote. While advisory recommendations do not require a formal response, the ICCB highly recommends that colleges carefully review and take specific steps to improve the areas indicated. The major areas of review, Thompson says, are student attendance, student assessment, data quality and management, reporting, and fiscal administration. The 8 compliance findings state DAC failed to maintain adequate attendance documentation and support for reported attendance hours. DAC did not comply with the National Reporting System attendance requirements. DAC maintained inadequate documentation and oversight of distance learning instruction. DAC maintained inadequate assessment documentation and inaccurately reported assessment results. DAC maintained inadequate data management and record-keeping procedures. DAC failed to maintain adequate documentation of personnel expenditures. DAC has unsubstantiated personnel costs. And DAC had personnel costs charged in excess of the approved budget that were unsupported by documentation, resulting in an obligation to repay $49,542.82. The ICCB says in fiscal year 2024, they sampled 80 classes for review and said attendance records were not provided for 66 classes. While there was documentation for 14 classes, those in attendance and the records based on that attendance for 13 of them did not match what was reported. In fiscal year 2025, the ICCB says there were similar findings with 31 classes reviewed, no records for 29 of them, and the remaining records not matching the reported attendance. The attendance for some classes was reported on paper sheets, then on Google Sheets. The ICCB says that distance learning classes had attendance discrepancies as well, with attendance sheets once again not provided for 29 classes in both fiscal years 2024 and 2025. There were 158 discrepancies found in student assessment records for fiscal year 2025, and there were 138 assessment discrepancies found in 2025. They also said that 35 files were not provided to them for review. As far as the funds owed, the ICCB said those were allocated to a specific staff member. They say the staff member was charged from the adult education grants as well as IBT grant awards, and they say there is no documentation to back up the salary costs. The college must refund to the ICCB an amount equal to the compensation paid to this individual from the fiscal year 2024 adult education grant in excess of the $9,636.48 in the approved budget for the fiscal year 2024 adult education grant, ICCB says. The compensation paid for this staff appears to be $59,179.30. The disallowed amount for this issue is $49,542.82 for the unsupported personnel charges on the fiscal year 2024 adult education grant award. The college is being told they must implement strict procedures for proposing grant budget modifications that require grantor approval before incurring costs associated with a budget modification. The college has 15 calendar days to request an informal hearing to present the facts, documentation, and any issues regarding the findings from the ICCB. The college will also have 35 calendar days from the notice to file a written request for a formal administrative hearing regarding the findings. Additionally, if no appeal is filed, the money owed becomes final and payment is due immediately. Next in local news, Danville man sentenced to life in prison. Marcus Slim McKinney, 50, of Danville, was sentenced on Friday, August 14, to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. According to a release from the United States Department of Justice, McKinney's sentence resulted from three drug trafficking charges, including his involvement in a drug conspiracy that resulted in the overdose death of Maggie Avalar on August 19, 2023, and the overdose of another victim who suffered serious bodily harm on April 15, 2023. Additionally, McKinney was sentenced to 40 years on another drug trafficking charge and 20 years on separate charges for maintaining drug-involved premises, obstruction of justice, and witness tampering. At the sentencing hearing before U.S. District Judge Colin Bruce, the judge considered evidence from McKinney's November 2025 jury trial showing that McKinney was released by the Federal Bureau of Prisons to an address on South State Street in Danville on April 6, 2023, on conditions of home confinement, including location monitoring with an ankle monitor. From that date until his arrest in Springfield on June 26, 2024, McKinney conspired with others to distribute crystal methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl, including exchanging the drugs with women for sex. The jury found that over the weekend of April 15, 2023, McKinney distributed an opioid to a woman who overdosed and would have died if not treated with Narcan by the Danville Fire Department and paramedics with Aero Ambulance. McKinney had falsely told the woman the substance only contained cocaine. The trial evidence showed that same weekend, three other people overdosed on drugs provided by McKinney, including another fatal overdose. McKinney continued using the South State Street residence for the use and distribution of illegal drugs until he moved to Kentucky Avenue in Danville later that summer. The trial evidence further established that McKinney used the premises on Kentucky Avenue to continue his ongoing drug conspiracy, including using and distributing drugs from the residence. The trial jury found that on August 19, 2023, McKinney distributed methamphetamine and fentanyl, a mixture McKinney referred to as a hot shot, to Avalar, resulting in her death at the Kennedy Avenue home. The next morning, McKinney and his brother, James Brownski Young, engaged in obstruction of justice by lying to the Danville Police Department about the circumstances surrounding Avalar's death to attempt to avoid law enforcement learning about McKinney's true involvement in the overdose. A DVR surveillance system seized from the residence and played at trial showed McKinney and Young discussing their plan to mislead the police and then their subsequent lies. Young was previously sentenced to 68 months of imprisonment for obstruction of justice, as well as his own drug trafficking activities. In September of 2023, the Bureau of Prisons required McKinney to go to a halfway house located in Springfield because of violations of his conditions of home confinement. McKinney continued his drug distribution conspiracy in Springfield, including distributing over 1 pound of methamphetamine to a Drug Enforcement Administration confidential source on June 20, 2024. 6 days later, DEA agents seized over 2 pounds of methamphetamine and over 5 kilograms of cocaine from storage lockers in Springfield that McKinney had opened under the confidential source's name. The jury further found that McKinney engaged in witness tampering in January of 2025 while his federal charges were pending, when he wrote a letter to a potential witness urging her to contact McKinney's attorney and falsely say that other witnesses were lying about McKinney's drug activities and were trying to get her to lie as well. At the August 14 sentencing hearing, Maggie Avalar's sister addressed McKinney, telling him, "You robbed Maggie's parents of their daughter, her siblings of their sister, her nieces and nephews of their aunt, and most importantly, you robbed her son of his mother. She was the person I looked up to as a little girl, the one who brushed my hair, cooked dinner, and comforted me when I needed it most. She was a loving mother to the luckiest boy, a boy who has been robbed of the honor of having his mother here today." In requesting a life sentence, the U.S. attorney stressed that McKinney had 5 prior felony drug trafficking convictions, including 2 prior federal convictions, and that McKinney was still completing a previously imposed 8-year federal drug trafficking sentence and wearing an ankle location monitor when he committed these numerous crimes, which resulted in multiple overdoses, including the death of Avalar. The U.S. attorney also argued that McKinney had never apologized to or expressed remorse for all the people his crimes had hurt. At sentencing, Judge Bruce overruled McKinney's objection to the mandatory life sentence, finding that he was required to impose a life sentence based on McKinney's drug conspiracy conviction, his prior felony drug offenses, and the jury findings that McKinney distributed drugs that resulted in serious bodily injury and death. In imposing 3 life sentences for 3 of McKinney's drug trafficking convictions, Judge Bruce noted that McKinney's conduct showed that he doesn't care about his crimes or the people he hurt. Opioids, such as heroin and fentanyl, pose an extreme peril to human life. The defendant's distribution of cocaine and methamphetamine secretly mixed with fentanyl resulted in multiple overdose deaths and shows a chilling disregard for human life, said U.S. Attorney Gregory Gilmore. Our office is dedicated to pursuing justice for victims of drug trafficking and to protecting our communities from those like the defendant who seek to sow harm. We are grateful to our federal and local law enforcement partners for their invaluable work on this case. Marcus McKinney turned addiction into a business model and human life into collateral damage, said Homeland Security Investigations Chicago Special Agent in Charge, Matthew Scarpino. Even while under federal supervision, he pushed poison into our communities, left victims and families devastated, and then tried to obstruct justice. HSI and our law enforcement partners will relentlessly pursue those who profit from addiction, violence, and death, and we will not stop until they are held accountable. The case investigation was conducted by the Danville Police, Homeland Security Investigations, the Illinois State Police, the Springfield Police, and the Drug Enforcement Administration Supervisory Assistant U.S. Attorney Eugene L. Miller represented the U.S. at trial and sentencing. Moving on to a sports article entitled, Let the Show Begin, Chicago Snowballs Roll into Stadium Tonight. With the Savannah Bananas and Banana Ball reaching new heights, the Chicago Snowballs are just starting their ascent. As their season rolls on, the Snowballs will make their first visit to Danville tonight with a 6:30 p.m. show at Danville Stadium. The Snowballs were founded in late 2025 by Sherry Travis, who was actually trying to make enough noise for the Bananas to hear. I listened to an interview with Bananas owner Jesse Cole, and he was talking about expanding the league from 4 to 6 teams, and I thought Chicago should have a team, without understanding what his model was, but that they were bringing in a lot of fun and a lot of people to come out to play baseball, Travis said. I've been volunteering with baseball coaches on the south side of Chicago for years and was a huge believer in youth sports and reached out to coaches I know, and they said it was a great idea. So I kept going. With the team, they had to get a head coach, and they went with Corey McMahon, who has 25 years of coaching experience and had to change his position on baseball. I have been a baseball traditionalist forever, so the idea of sportstainment was a little bit difficult for me at first, he said. This is still sports, and it is hard to not get swept up in that. When Sherry built the Snowballs and the Rocket Squirrels, I got to see it up front and see the amazing talent, and now I get the chance to see how it affects the people that go to games, and it's hard not to be a fan. Coaching this team requires a unique skill set, so the fact that I coached baseball, but I also have an entertainment and business background, and I felt this brings all three elements into one place. The Snowballs will be going against the Rocket Squirrels like it has been going all season. The Rocket Squirrels are the competition, but they are not here to lose. The Snowballs are this jolly, fun, good-hearted team, and the Rocket Squirrels are like the mischievous little brother, getting into trouble and doing some tricks, Travis said. The Harlem Globetrotters always won, and that is not the case here. Both teams each win about half of the time, and they are pretty competitive, and they like to win, and we like to have fun. The teams are co-ed and were selected out of close to 1,000 people last year in Chicago. They were supposed to have a date in Danville earlier this season, but it was postponed as the teams needed time to get there. We were a little slow in getting started. I think we were a little ambitious going into the season and not realizing that we had a lot of weather delays. I was disappointed, but I was reminded by our entertainment director that these things happen and shows have a slow start. We started our season at Bloomington, and it was a great start. It's a traveling circus, McMahon said. We are 60 people that jump in buses and hit the road to go perform in different towns, and that comes with logistical learnings. At this point, we have become a machine, and it has been fun. One of the players for the Snowballs, Kyle Petrowski, is known as Gladiator, and he marvels at how everyone has gotten together through the season. It's better to be lucky than good. So I don't know how Sherry was so lucky, Petrowski said. She had these tryouts with over 1,000 people, and we ended up with over 40 players who are just genuinely caring, kind, thoughtful, like-minded people. Finding one of those is hard to do, and she found 41 of them, and it's mind-blowing to me. Travis is originally from Urbana, which means she understands some of the small towns in Illinois and neighboring states, and the team has worked in making an impression in all of the cities they have visited. I grew up in Urbana, and I know the smaller communities. They're looking for something fun, so to come to those areas outside of Chicago has been great, because people want to have laughs and enjoy themselves a bit. It's been really fun. I'm not going to understate that it is a lot of work to go into a new market. In Clinton, Iowa, they didn't know us. We were there a month and a half ago, and the town really just responded to us, and I am not exaggerating, that every player told me that people came up and thanked them for coming. Bortowski has made some connections in the area leading up to the game to help make an impression. This is our last full road trip, so it's a little sad, but it's a good thing and we'll make the best of it. We are going there to create community with local businesses like Stir Nutrition and Slotted Spoon. Bortowski played baseball through college and adult leagues, but he had not picked up a baseball for 12 years before joining the team. We are now able to do what we were told not to do. Bortowski said, baseball is not a militant sport, but if you are out on the field dancing, you're told to stop dancing. If you play to the grass, if you're laying down on the field, or you brought a toy, all of those things are wrong. But now if I was in right field and sit down and face the other way to talk to a fan, the coaches would crack up along with the fans. Between every pitch, I am dancing to a new song. I'm having fun and interacting with the crowd. For everyone on both teams, this will be the first time coming to Danville Stadium. And McMahon said they will make it worth it. I'm familiar with the history of the stadium. We are coming to a stadium that's been around since 1946, McMahon said. We were in Huntingburg, Indiana, about 5 weeks ago, in a stadium with a lot of history, and we had one of our best shows. We will try to specialize this performance so it has a Danville feel to it, and that fans will come out and see things that they've never seen before. The Snowballs say they all want to provide an escape for everyone and a chance for memories. The world has been a little chaotic, and I feel like we bring joy to people. I feel like what we do is to give people some fun and laughs, and that's what people need right now, Travis said. They should expect they're going to find a lot of energy going into the stadium and that they're going to be greeted by our players and performers, and they will meet them right at the gates. They're going to find out if there will be different innings, different rules, a lot of funny things you would not expect. We have a gentleman that's a circus performer, and he's riding a unicycle and juggling. It's a baseball game, but with a little bit of circus, carnival, comedy, and Three Stooges, and hopefully everyone will have a good time. What really makes us different is the accessibility, McMahon said. I don't think you're going to see a sports contest where at times in the game, players are going to leave the field and spend the remaining innings going to the stands, talking to the fans, and giving autographs. The accessibility is the key, and these performances are genuine. We're excited for it, and I think the fans will love it as much as I do. The game starts at 6:30 p.m., and tickets can be purchased on the Snowballs website at www.chicagosnowballs.com. With the small bit of remaining time left, one of the community briefs. Maury Chapel hosts a gospel sing. A gospel sing is being held at 5:30 p.m. this Saturday, August 22, at the Maury Chapel Church of Christ, 19194 East 1100 North Road in Danville. Our guest singers will be heaven-bound from the Danville area. There will be a carry-in meal following, and everyone is invited to stay. For more information, email Melissa Henry at hnryjang5@sbcglobal.net. Next, retired teachers to meet September 4. The Vermilion County Retired Teachers Association will meet at 11 o'clock a.m. on Friday, September 4 at the Bremer Center on campus of Danville Area Community College. This has been Rob Jacobson with the August 23, 2026 edition of the Commercial News. I look forward to reading with you again soon.